This is Dalton Kincaid, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man and Cody Carpentier as we are all back in our home bases for now. Trash Man, what, you leaving tomorrow for Texans camp?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
You were saying something whenever I joined the room about they're trying to swindle you out of the joint practice.
Yeah, they're only allowing me to come to one day, which is odd because, you know, the past two off seasons, I've gotten a couple days there.
Super easy about this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a new person, but they've been stingy about the second day, which would be the day that the Rams come for a joint practice. So we'll see what I can do once I get there tomorrow.
Well, the good news is that Byron was at Rams for like 3 days, and so we have a pretty good feel for how that stuff is. But gosh, man, I have to go down there for just one day is pretty tough scene, man. It's like not ideal, but hey, man, it'll be another camp to add to the old ticker. We're going to talk today about seven players that won the preseason as far as fantasy, whether it's their usage, the way they've looked, what we've heard from sort of beat reports, what we've seen at these joint practices. But before we do that, the Trash Man, let's come back to you. Tell us your biggest takeaways from just now being home from Indian Cardinals, who played and had joint practices last week.
Anthony Richardson looks good. He looks composed. He looks sharp. The first day of joint practices that I watched where it wasn't raining, he and Michael Pittman iterated this after practice that they didn't miss a connection between the two of them. They didn't miss a go right between the two of them. So he was really, really on point with his throws. Adonai Mitchell looked great.
Is he ahead of Alec Pierce for sure?
What's up?
He's ahead of Alec Pierce now for sure, right?
I don't know. Alec Pierce had probably
I don't care what Reggie Wayne says about all this.
Alec Pierce had more.
If anybody, Reggie Wayne kind of matters.
Alec Pierce had more targets, arguably. I mean, he got more balls thrown his way. Adonai Mitchell did more with the balls that he got, but Alec Pierce was very much in the mix. Down in the end zone, though, it was almost all Michael Pittman.
How did the running backs look behind Jonathan Taylor?
Behind Jonathan Taylor,
what is the pecking order?
I don't know that they. I saw equal amounts of everybody behind JT. There wasn't.
Was Sermon first up? Was it like Evan Hull? Did you see any of him?
Evan Hull, I did see Evan Hull. Actually, Evan Hull probably got more action than any of the other guys. But I think maybe it's because he's so involved in the passing game.
Okay.
He definitely was more of a third down back than any of those other guys. He definitely was the guy that popped off more than any of those guys that you saw picking up yards, that you saw getting important touches. So I would say Evan Hull, if he's not the two, then he's the most – I think he'll be the most fantasy relevant of these other backs.
Is he going to be a dynasty mover?
No.
No?
No. I wouldn't consider him so.
Is Trey Sermon the handcuff though? Because if you consider Evan Hull sort of the, he wouldn't. I couldn't imagine Evan Hull.
Evan Hull was not involved in really any between the tackles running.
You think it's Trey Sermon, and I mean Demetri Felton is on the roster. Evan Hull, I think Tyler Goodson's on the roster. It feels like Sermon would be the handcuff.
You would say it was the handcuff, but those other guys were involved too, though they were more involved on passing plays.
What about
there wasn't a standout behind JT, if that's what you're looking for.
Well, what about Anthony Richardson in general? I mean, I haven't been too impressed with his passing in the actual preseason games, like what we've seen of him, and it's just been a little tiny bit.
Like I said earlier, I mean, he was really accurate on the day that wasn't raining. On the day that it was raining, he was still accurate, just the guys weren't bringing balls in. There was a lot of drop passes on the second day when it was raining. They still look twice as good as the Cardinals offense on both days.
I'm like the commenters in your YouTube video that you put up from Cardinals camp. How can you go to Cardinals camp and do a recap of it and not talk about Marvin Harrison Jr.? It's like the biggest fantasy story of the whole thing. And like, you're just here talking about Trey McBride and stuff. What about MHJ, dude?
Well, I didn't see much of him. I didn't see him do much. I mean, I've talked about my three biggest takeaways from camp.
And well, isn't a giant. So was he just not practicing? Clearly you were there to like,
see him on the field. The Cardinals offense just wasn't good. They were under duress. You know, the second day was the day. So I plan on watching the Colts off. They were holding practices on two different fields. So the first day I was looking at Colts offense up against the Cardinals defense. The second day when I was planning on looking at the Cardinals, that was the day it rained. So they combined them to one practice field, and both the teams ran 11-on-11 drills against the other. And the Cardinals, there was nothing doing against the Colts defense. They couldn't get anything done.
That was a pretty big rainstorm, though, and I did see that in the rain he did catch a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
In one-on-ones?
I'm not sure. I just saw the clip, so I don't know whether that was team, whether that was that team, was that 7-on-7s. It was the one where he ran the route to the breaking to his right and catching it on the far side of the end zone.
It wasn't on 11-on-11s.
It wasn't. So that was something that, like, it wasn't clear to me. I just knew that it was raining, so I knew it had to be the same day, right?
Yeah.
It would have had to have been at that joint practice because
on 11-on-11s, he was a non-issue. He was a non-factor. McBride was the guy that they were going to. And maybe it was because, you know, it was raining and that was the only guy that could get the ball into, you know, on short passes. Like I said, it wasn't an ideal situation.
How did he look though?
Harrison?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked quick. He looked smaller than I thought, but I guess.
Smaller, like shorter, or smaller, like less
skinnier.
Body mass?
Leaner.
Just body mass.
Huh. Okay. And is it in three wide receiver sets? Is it Harrison, Michael Wilson, and Greg Dortch?
Yeah.
That's is exactly Dortch as it. Sick as they say he is?
What's that?
Is Dortch as sick or as, you know, like a focal point as they've said he is coming out of camp?
I mean,
honestly,
he looked like the twitchiest receiver of the group. He looked like the guy that was –
Short King Summer. No way we're doing this around
here. 25-year-old Greg Dortch, baby.
I mean, he was the guy who was shaking. He was the guy who was shaking defenders off and getting open on those one-on-ones. Like, Dortch looked like the best receiver on the field, at least the most dynamic.
Those guys always look good in the one-on-ones because they get these choice. It's like the Tank Dell and Calvin Austin and all these guys at the Senior Bowl. We always say that these slot wide receivers with the choice routes, they're always going to look better in one-on-ones.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the KJ Hamler thing. All right, KJ Hamler was dirt nasty last week for Buffalo, but it was only during the one-on-ones. As soon as they went to team, it was a zero. But and Calvin Austin wasn't quite that sick, but I think your point stands. But he also, Greg Dortch, took the job away from Rondale Moore, kicked him to Atlanta, and they've said they liked him. I don't know. It's –
Well, in typical Trash Man fashion, in the middle of his report, I don't know what the heck's going on with him here. Trash
Man,
can we hear you at all, or is it just your?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did you turn off your camera for some reason?
I moved my phone.
Byron was texting me. Are you recording this from your phone?
No.
Okay, so he moved his phone and the camera.
Are you doing a sim today, Alex?
What?
Are you doing a sim today?
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna run a simulate. Dude, don't put me over trash. I don't want people to tune in here and see that I'm trash, man. Look at this, dude. You can't put me on the other side, please.
All right. Yes, I got you. I'll take it down.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want it to say trash, man.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really, do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on SiriusXM Radio, here on the podcasts, from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An expert quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com.
All right, so there he is. Trash Man's back. Okay. So whenever we I'm not going to, and so here's the deal with the cheat sheets, okay? We're updating them right now. Cody, you're going to get one up today, an update.
Yeah, I've been working all morning.
We got updates up yesterday. Close. I got two updates up yesterday. It's the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet at rosterwatch.com. We're maniacally testing these things. We're making sure that they're completely up to date. If you follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, an expert quality draft is always guaranteed. You cannot afford a draft without this thing. Nobody stays on this, stays on the news, grinds the news, goes out around the country to make sure that we're seeing these things with our own two eyes. We know that you guys all have drafts this weekend. You need to go to rosterwatch.com, get the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. If you like these shows and you just want to support us, that our whole company is like, this is what pays for us to go out and do this stuff and everything. We're completely supported by listeners like you. And so please go download the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. But with that being said, man, this has been a headache of a day with the cheat sheet, Cody. I don't know what happened overnight with some of these, with this new ADP drop. It's been, there are guys moving up really fast, dude. Rashi Rice is moving up really fast. So is Xavier Worthy. And those are two players. If we talk about dudes that won the offseason, I've talked about it on the SiriusXM show. I talked about it on our show with Lisa Ann. We'll be back again here on the YouTube channel and on her Instagram doing that on Friday. But the Chiefs in general, I don't understand how you get Isaiah Pacheco that's out there for all the plays with Patrick Mahomes, and they're having to bring in dudes like Carson Steele off the street, guys like Denarik Prince.
Shrine Bowler.
Okay. I mean, these are dudes that they're bringing in to be try and be the legit number two behind Isaiah Pacheco. And since, dude, this offense is going to be a lot better, man. They brought in Marquise Brown, and they're going to have Rashi Rice in year two after he kind of had a slow bake, right, as far as his development. Right. You've seen Rashi Rice, whenever Patrick Mahomes is out there right now, he's got like over 30% target share. And I know that Marquise Brown got hurt super early on. So we don't know exactly how things are going to pan out for Xavier Worthy, whether he's going to be out there in two wide sets like he is right now. Part of me kind of thinks at first he wouldn't be. But if Marquise Brown does go on IR, we're going to have a situation there where.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tyreek, I say Tyreek, Xavier Worthy, he could hit the ground running and have a Tyreek Hill type of at least role. I mean, no one's going to be Tyreek Hill, but it could make him hard to take off the field. And all these guys are going much later than I would imagine. No one wants to take Pacheco or it doesn't look to me like Rashi Rice is going to get his suspension. I'm still getting Xavier Worthy in the ninth round of these drafts. I like getting both those guys, man. So, like I asked Cody on the show, since when is it not like a sexy pick to take these Chiefs, right? In a Patrick Mahomes offense where they're going to be in scoring position, especially in Pacheco, who there's nobody behind him. Andy Reid's talking about how much better he is in pass protection. He could be a true three down guy in a Patrick Mahomes offense. That's what I was saying over the weekend, and I feel like maybe people are starting to wake up to it a little bit. So if we're talking about players that won the preseason, I think that this Chiefs offense is, you know, not necessarily something that I that I love because I've enjoyed these sort of depressed ADPs on them. But I mean, they're moving up, and rightfully so.
I think one that, you know, staying in that AFC West for me is Josh Palmer. And I will say, Byron has been just adamant about Palmer for the last 3 years now. And the opportunity and the cost is pretty awesome, especially in half right now. He's going off at 150 overall after the likes of, you know, the Shakirs of the world, the Shaheeds of the world. And he's pretty clearly the number one wide receiver in Los Angeles. And it sounded like, and it looked like Ladd McConkey, whose ADP is still 45 spots ahead of Josh Palmer on standard and half. It looked like Ladd was going to push into that workload or that target share in Los Angeles. And after the last preseason game where Palmer was the first one to come off the field and it looked like Brendan Rice wasn't pushing in, they've talked about Simi Fehoko. Yesterday there was more news about, you know, this receiver room. Harbaugh supposedly likes where it's at, which is kind of confusing given that Quentin Johnston didn't play until late in the first quarter. And it's just, it seems on the outside, it looks like a mess. It looks like it's Josh Palmer. We like Ladd McConkey. And then who knows if it's going to be Fehoko or Brendan Rice or Quentin Johnston or DJ Chark on the outside. It seems like it's a big combobulation of garbage, but Josh Palmer feels like he's won the preseason in just being the longest standing veteran in this receiver room, going off at 150, which is round 12, 13. We're getting him a bunch on the standard and half sheet. I think Palmer's been a massive winner so far in this preseason.
The problem is the upside just doesn't feel like it's there for Palmer.
Yeah, but when you look at Minnesota, like I'm not going to compare him to Justin Jefferson or anything, but like look at George Pickens. Look at George Pickens right now. Like both George Pickens and Jefferson, right? They're both in situations where you can look at Pickens as an alpha. He would be an elite number two on any team. Like if you put Ayuk on that team, Pickens would be a great number two. If you look at Minnesota with Jefferson and the quarterback play, Sam Darnold, you look at Pittsburgh with the quarterback play and Russ with George Pickens, Palmer is the number one. Palmer is in that alpha role and he has Herbert. So it's like, yes, they're going to run the football, but they're still going to, they still have to throw it at least, you know, 380, 400 times at least.
No, I get it. I mean,
there's still 140 targets out there that could potentially be given to Josh Palmer.
I still get Palmer in the 13th round of these drafts. I think it's fine. But
I've grown to love it is what I'm saying. Like before I was like, yeah, okay. You know, if Byron listens to this, I think Byron's going to love it. Like I'm starting to love getting Josh Palmer in the 13th round.
Trash man. Who's won the preseason for you?
I mean, I would say it's my man Rome Odunze in Chicago. Of all the players that I watched over the past 2 weeks at these camps, he was the guy that stood out the most, was making the most plays, the most involved in the drives, you know, even on, you know, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s. It didn't really matter. He was more involved than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be a JSN this season, like I'm JSN rookie season. I thought that he was going to be the odd man out, really, and this Bears offense, and it doesn't look like it.
Especially considering, it's the same offensive coordinator that JSN had last year, right? And it's like just like a sick round one rookie that comes in and has two super established guys. I mean, you were there at Bears camp. Look at Byron; nothing gets him more excited than Josh Palmer of all people. My goodness, it's just so cockamamie, dude. I don't want to make too much. You were there at Bears camp. I don't want to make too much out of the whole thing about Keenan Allen's weight. It feels like it's gotten a little bit overblown, but his ADP is dropping and stuff. The pure fact of the matter for me is he is getting older, you know, and Rome Odunze was the number 9 overall pick. And you could make a very good argument that he, for him to be wide receiver 1 in a class that also featured Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. He wasn't our wide receiver 1, but I mean,
we discussed it.
You sit there and watch him. You're like, how can this guy not at least be in the discussion? He's super, super, super sick. And he's also I'm just from getting to interact with him in the short amount of time that we've been allowed to at workouts and at the combine and stuff like that. You get the idea. He's also really smart. You can tell what a hard worker he is. Do you remember Cody at the combine when he ran the three cone like 9 times and they had to shuffle him off the field and say, Rome, you can't keep doing this, dude. You know, he kept wanting to get his time better and better. When, you know, 3/4 of these dudes said three cone. No, man, my agent said not to do this. Yeah. He's a competitor, man. He's a dog. And so how are people just automatically, it's like, to me, it's crazy to think that Rome Odunze couldn't come out of this season and talk about a guy that I feel like is one in the preseason, at least who's looked awesome, is Caleb Williams. How could people think that he couldn't come out of the situation at the end of the year and us saying like, all right, Rome is going to be the first Bears wide receiver that you draft next year. He's the wide receiver one. And it's not Keenan Allen. And I know it's a harder sale on DJ Moore, but look, but I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possibility that Rome Odunze is better than DJ Moore. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Rome Odunze is already better than Keenan Allen. Okay. And so the fact that he, you know, I've seen that he hasn't been out there quite yet in the two wide receiver sets. Whenever they go to three wide receiver, Keenan Allen bumps in. They got Rome on the outside. I understand all that, right? But I can see that changing in very, very, very short order. Trashman, you were the one who was there, though. Does Keenan Allen look like a disgusting fat body?
He doesn't look disgusting. He was wearing sweats the whole time. You couldn't really see his body. He couldn't catch anything on Jalen Johnson. Nobody could. DJ Moore could. And it's funny because DJ Moore is usually the one guy on that offense who is unguardable.
He's the Greg Dortch of that offense.
And Jalen Johnson, DJ Moore couldn't even catch against Jalen Johnson. So that, I mean, honestly, Jalen Johnson might have been the most impressive player on the Bears team. But like I said, Rome Odunze was just a playmaker, a baller.
We got our guy Harry Snowman in the chat. Good to see Harry Snowman, and he brings up a good point, man. Jaden Daniels, that was another one that I was gonna bring up. He's changed his tune on whether Chicago can sustain this offense and the weather.
They don't even know who the number two receiver is.
The weather in Chicago could be an issue, but if you look at the strength of schedule tool at Roster Watch, it's the number one schedule for opposing wide receivers, the number two schedule for opposing quarterbacks. So it should be a good schedule for those guys. One of the reasons why the rest of the NFC North doesn't have as good schedules for opposing receivers and opposing quarterbacks is because of your guy, Trash Man, that nobody can get off at practice. Yep. He has turned into a complete lockdown corner. About Jaden Daniels, Cody, I mean, we've been talking about this, but I'm just so excited to get him in the 13th round of these drafts as my quarterback, even though I take one earlier. Just the absolute nuclear upside, almost 4,000 yards last season, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1,100 yards on the ground, 10 rushing touchdowns. I mean, to see that he's out there, you know, checking out of plays and doing all this stuff, they're already trusting him to do it all. And like you talked about from your time there with the Commanders, how they've sort of kept this thing quiet. They've kept it under wraps and stuff. It was only this week that we finally got the word. It's like, well, of course, but you know, they actually finally named him starter.
Well, I was happy to see a guy that I respect a lot now. Now I'm blanking on his name, Charles Robinson. He was at Commanders camp the day before I was there. He was there for a practice, and he put out his thoughts today from that camp, and it was almost exactly kind of what I had on Ertz and on Daniels. And in his write-up, he said, I could totally see this kid going for 4,000 combined passing and rushing yards as a rookie with 30 plus touchdowns. And I was like, I mean 3,400 passing, 600 rushing, 3,500. I could see that. That makes total sense with this offense, and that rises everything. That rises up the McLaurin. You know, everyone wants to talk about, you know, Dotson and Dami Brown, but I love where Jaden Daniels is at in totality. And when you're looking at the standard and half sheets over rosterwatch.com, when you're drafting this week in the ultimate draft cheat sheet, you're going to see Jaden Daniels' name next to Josh Palmer, next to Romeo Doubs, next to all these names that we're talking about today. because it's a sick value, and you're going to continue to get sick values on Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and two other guys that I loved so far this preseason that won at running back. You know, the Jalen Wrights, who didn't even have to play last week for the Miami Dolphins. They believe in him already so much. And Braylon Allen, the running back for the Jets. Like, this whole area in round 12, 13, 14, 15 of your drafts, when you're using the ultimate draft cheat sheet from rosterwatch.com, you're going to get sick. You're going to get sick with Josh Palmer and Jaden Daniels and even Romeo Doubs.
And we continue to, and we, that doesn't make me feel sick, but we do, we do continue to test these things maniacally day after day, hour after hour. We'll have new updates today as you're listening to this. We'll have new updates every day as we get news or as the new ADPs shift the structure of the sheet. Just remember, if you have drafts this weekend, we're your guys here, man. We're going to be here for you. We're going to work super, super, super hard to make sure that you have everything you need to completely dominate that draft. And most importantly, to make sure that you are leveraging against ADP and leveraging that ADP against your opponents at every turn of your fantasy draft. It's very, very important. All right. So make sure to go to rosterwatch.com, download the ultimate draft cheat sheet. We have the version for PPR. We have the version for super flex. We have the version for standard and half point. You can also use it for auctions. The ultimate draft cheat sheet at rosterwatch.com. It's getting dialed in. It's constantly updated. It's the only tool that you'll need this draft season.